Trying to think of a memorable way for you to start into the new year. It is a new year, you know. It appeared. And it probably will have a few challenges like the last, and a few blessings, and a few we don't know what's coming our way. When I was in a high school, I guess college as well, some professors had the audacity to come into classroom and say, take out a sheet of paper and number it 1 to 10. Because you're going to have what? You're going to have a quiz. And I never did well on them. But anyway, how do you do on quizzes? The year is past. Should we not review the year past? Because as a result of it, I might be able just to preach the same sermons all over again. So what are some things we preached on? I'll forget Mr. Binkley, the mighty deer hunter, and what he preached on, but what you did in the times I was here. What do you remember? Anything?
That he's a God of all grace.
No, that was last week.
From August.
From August. Oh, okay. Out of Peter, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Like the God of all comfort, he's the God of all grace. Well, January, February, and March, we dealt with how the local church's ministry is to exalt the sovereign and edify the saints, one another, and what's missing? Exalt, edify, execution? What kind of execution? Okay. Evangelism. Yeah, evangelize the lost. Yeah. I hadn't thought of execution. Put it to work. Execute. Reminds me of the... No, never mind. What else? I preached on. Got those. Boldness, yeah. We preached on boldness out of what book?
Ephesians,
sure. And we used the little title there, What We Have. We have, and all the things we have in Christ. And then we, one, some of that was we have access, and we have boldness, and enter into his presence. That's good. Now, there's a few months in between, though. Yeah, you're doing well. We preached on Peter, right? Peter, what Peter preached in the book of Acts was that which he wrote about in the book of 1 Peter, and how his life was lived, how before Christ, and we live our lives too. Well, you all flunked, so don't feel bad. Except for those that took notes and still got them. I see some of you do. So that's always an encouragement to see with regard to that. Well, we're in Titus. I know we read Ephesians, and I'm going to direct you back to Titus in chapter 2. We have these wonderful, soul-lifting, encouraging at the beginning of the year and any time of the year out of Titus chapter 2. We're reminded in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Wonderful, wonderful verse. And thinking down through these verses of Titus chapter 2, we're reminded why every one of us, why every single one of us in 2020 under God's grace can and should live godly. As we worship God, and as we serve God together in his ordained local church. Now I'm going to read this portion And we'll be reminded of the outline we used last week, verse 11, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does that grace do? What does the appearance of Christ do? Well, it's teaching us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Of course, we know that was written many centuries ago at that present age. And so each present age, each age, each time, as we are living here in this our present age, that's how we are to live as well. Looking, verse 13, always keeping our attention, our thoughts, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he reminds us of what Jesus Christ did, who gave himself, verse 14, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own peculiar or special people, zealous for good work. And he reminds us in verse 15, while it has some direct attention upon the pastor and his ministry, he's a reminder to all of us to speak these things. Certainly exhort and rebuke, we encourage and work with one another with all authority. Let no one despise you. We used a little outline there, and we said these verses talk of the past and of the present. And of the future, I actually changed the word future this week to answer the past and the present and the promise of his coming. Just got to get three P's in there, that's all that is. So the overall theme here is the grace of God. You can see that very easily in verse 11. And the past is that which we look back to, and we look back, and we are reminded here in verse 11 of the appearing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is Christ. And he has brought salvation. It came, it appeared, and that to all men. Then verse 12 talks about this present age we're living in, this time period since the cross, and which will end with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in the present age. That's what we're living in now. This is our daily living. How am I to live day by day? Well, we live by the teaching of the grace of God that is teaching us that of denying ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And then verses 13 and 14, they are that promise, the promise, that which is longed for day in and day out before the Lord, that which really keeps us pressing forward in our service for him, because he will appear. The Lord will appear, verse 13 and verse 14. Looking, you know, keep our attention for the blessed hope, our desire, our hope moment by moment, and glorious, how glorious that appearing will be. You know, when Christ opened, God opened the heavens and sent his son Christ, there was a glorious appearing then that night as Christ came. And here there will be a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. The word gave is a very valuable one to study. We'll do it when we get there. For us, that he might redeem us from all lawless deeds, purify for himself his own peculiar people, zealous for good works. Indeed, that's what we look forward to, his coming. Is that upon our mind often? He's coming. When we look back at his first appearance, and it reminds us when there's a first coming. There's going to be a second coming. He's coming again. And so the present task we have of setting forth. Now, we examined some of that last week and got a few thoughts on it. And a little bit more this morning hour, the grace of God has come. Now we're going to do a little something different. We're going to sing the chorus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you're supposed to stand up, right?
Yes.
But we're not going to do that. Because I know once you stood up once, that'd be it for many. But we're going to do this, though. We're going to read Titus 2:11 here together. And we're going to do it a couple, three times throughout the message. And we'll explain kind of on the thoughts of that as we go along. So let's read it, Titus 2:11. Now first we do the reading of our scripture because we're memorizing it. We say the reference first, then we say the verse, and then we do what? Say the reference again. All right, so here we go all together. Say it with me, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that salvation has appeared to all men. Appeared for some, Titus 2:11, thank you. I just got to hear myself talk, so I keep going. Appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. And we know that God's grace is brought forth here. And we gave a little definition. There are many wonderful definitions of grace and a way of putting the words together that bring forth what it is. I set forth the definition that it's God's active favor. We sang a lot about His grace. You notice that in the songs this morning hour. Appreciate them being used. But God's active favor, that God who is giving, God who gives, bestows. He has bestowed the greatest gift upon those, upon us, who deserve the greatest punishment. That's God's grace. Greatest gift bestowed upon those who deserve the greatest punishment. And indeed, God's grace, God of all grace, as Peter did talk about, is spelt, you know, J-E-S-U-S, right? Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. That's what grace is spelt, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, grace, God, Jesus, came to earth to rescue those who hated Him to the greatest extent so as to rescue them from the greatest possible evil. The curse and wrath of God upon them. That's the grace of God. But we make it personal. You know, the scriptures are not just something I read and are left out there. We do not handle or look or think upon the scriptures that way. We take, we read, we think upon them, we contemplate them, and we make them personal upon ourselves. They're given to be done that way. So, grace, God, Jesus, came into my life. You could say the same of yours, I trust. To rescue me while I still had the greatest hatred for Him. He was a joke. He was a swear word. And on and on. He came to rescue me from the curse He had placed upon me and the wrath because of my sin. His loving patience. The grace of God. So the only one who could curse the people He created was the only one who could rescue them from the curse He had placed upon them. We're reminded of Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us on the cross. Jesus took my curse for my sin And indeed, of course, also the wrath of God. The wrath which we rightly deserved to be upon us. It's been written this way. I don't know or remember or have who wrote this. I would like to remember, find out someplace, sometime. But someone wrote in his death on the cross, Jesus came above us and between us, intercepting the penalty that would have fallen upon us. Indeed, the God of grace. Now we're pressing on to Titus in verse 11 and a few thoughts therein to get it settled into our lives so we are thinking upon it, and it is the foundation that we press on in this year called 2020. So we need to do it again. We're going to read it again. Titus, you know what you do after you read it a few times? You know someone's going to say to you, I sure hope you memorize that. Now, it's only about a baker's dozen of words, so you can handle that. And so let's read it again. Here we go. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. 2:11. Grace appeared. It appeared to rescue, and it appeared to bestow upon sinners the greatest possible, if I might use an old word, boon, the greatest possible boon, namely blessings upon all who believe. A blessing that goes into and through eternity. So it has no ending. So Titus 2:11 verse, here our verse, is a verse to carry us along and a verse for us to carry along through the year that is before us. So I give a very unhidden hint. Titus 2:11 is a good verse to put on the front of the church bulletin for the year. Anybody hear that? Whose fingers do the searching on the keys? It's a good one to place on the front of the church bulletin. It's a beautiful one to have always before us. Indeed, a good one to memorize. Valuable for your heart and soul and mind and the strengthening of your soul in the midst of a crooked world. For the grace of God. Just there's a message or two or three or four or 50 or 60. For the grace of God that brings has brought salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And it's not something looking for. It doesn't say which we're working for, which we're developing. It says it appeared, has appeared. The emphasis, it's a person, it's Christ. And appeared to all men. The emphasis being no one is left out as far as a nationality, a culture, or whatever term we might use. So it's a good one for us to think upon as one of those, we're one of those all men, one of those people. It's a good one to write down and take forth and give out to others. It's a beautiful testifying verse to use and have ready for us. It really, when you think through it, folks, this is the verse which is the theme of the whole Bible. The grace of God who's appeared. He's brought salvation to all. Grace is about God and grace is about Jesus and grace is about you and I when we come because of their grace upon us. Christ appeared to do what he alone could do, to bring salvation to sinners like you and I. like you and I who were his enemy, did not care for the things of God. Each one of us finds ourselves in those verses in Ephesians, which I know you've read many times, and I trust you have studied well also. But I go back to read them in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, he says in verse 1, for you, he has quickened, or he has made alive. You were what? He says, you who were dead, spiritually dead in your sin, trespasses against God. In those sins of Ephesians 2, and as he brings out in verse 2, in those sins and trespasses which you once walked, lived your life. Sometimes we have to pause and be reminded, though we should not dwell there long upon our sins and that of the past, because it's all taken away and covered by Christ. But in which that's where we once lived our lives. I trust your life is not lived there today. Once walked according to the course of this world. There was the whole life. And it was according to the prince and the power of the air, his way and direction. Indeed, he's the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. I'll not forget, I think in this age, the conversation I had with several on this topic. One in particular, as I sat with him almost knee to knee and face to face in a little room one night, and when he said to me, I don't sin. I'm not a sinner. I never, I'm not like others. And I said, so the scripture is wrong. The Bible is not correct. And had the joy of seeing him come to Christ. We all once conducted ourselves. How did we conduct ourselves? In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Nature, by nature, were children of wrath. Just as others. You know, salvation is for all sinners. God's grace. God's grace is for all. I do think we forget that. We forget what we were, the Ephesians chapter 2 people at one time. Whether as a child or as a teen or as an adult, we were there. That was us. I think we forget that, and so we forget that there was a time and a place when someone, either from the pulpit or sitting with us or individually or gave us that track or that information, and the Spirit of God took the Word of God and opened up our heart and mind by the gift of faith. We forget. We don't remember it as we should, and therefore I think we're not convinced to press on with it, to give it to someone else. And so we often keep our mouths shut about Christ when we should be speaking much. We're often very poor, at least I know I am very poor, talking about the grace of God to others. It's probably because I'm very selfish and think only of myself, and all other conversations seem more important than to take a moment and talk about the God of grace. It is one of those things we should indeed admit that we should be shouting from the roof of the church. No, I didn't say go outside, get a ladder, climb on the roof and shout. There'll be someone else coming after you if you start doing that. But I would say we need that attitude that desire of wanting to make it known. No, we don't do it forcefully, and we don't do it in a way to on purpose offend others, or the gospel is always offensive. But the sad truth is we're not even very good whisperers of God's grace, of Jesus. You know, we seldom even have a plan in mind to talk to others of his grace. We need to do that. That's a good thing to develop, to think, you know, when we go out the front door. When I was a kid and I went out the front door, there was two things my mother taught me. Number one, make sure there's a handkerchief in your pocket. She didn't like us using our sleeve, I guess. And number two, make sure the damper on the stovepipe was shut off. That's, you know, the days we burned only wood. Anyone remember that? Wood only for heat or coal or something. And make sure the stove is turned down. You know, you get it into your mind, you just do it. It's what it just takes place. And so it is when we step out the door to go about our business for the day. You know, we're ready. We got a track. Gospel of John, of course. But you got some tracks. Church has a great track, you know, A Place Called Home. It's a good one the church here uses. It's got the name on it and all that good stuff. And good ones to give out. And we're not called to keep our mouth shut. We are called to speak about the things of the Lord. And to express the love of Christ that he had for us, we have for him, and display it to others. Now back, hold your place in Titus, if you would, and look back at Luke. We've just come through this wonderful season that we call Christmas, but it's a season to remind us all the time of he who appeared. Christ appeared. Christ came. And we go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you would, please, your Bible. And you find your way down to verse, 29. Luke 2 and verse 29. Remember, we have this one, Simeon, a devout man to God, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's back in verse 25. And he comes, he's been revealed, the Spirit of God brings him to the place where Christ is being brought in. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 27, he came to the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. What takes place there in Luke chapter 2 now in verse 28? Well, Simeon takes the baby in his arms, who is Christ. You've taken babies in your arms and you hold them carefully. I don't know if you've ever held up a child with two hands. I got getting closer together like this. And but we certainly have all held a child. And so he took him up, took the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms and blessed God. And what did he say? Well, he says, Lord, now you are letting or let your servant depart in peace according to your word. What he's saying is, Lord, you fulfilled your word. You said I would be here until you, on this earth, until you brought the long-expected one. Your word was fulfilled. And verse 30, for my eyes, you know, my very eyes, these eyes right here, these in the sockets in my head, my eyes have seen your salvation. He's right here in my arms, in my hands. My eyes have seen your salvation. Indeed, it's Christ. Titus says, the grace of God, that's Jesus, who brings salvation, has appeared. Simeon is holding him up. Verse 31, he says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. In our Sunday school lessons toward the end this morning, reminded, with regard to things of the truth of the Word of God were for times past of Israel, the Jews, and for the Gentiles. The message was for both. And as we set forth and looked at the things of the Scriptures, verse 32, he says, a light. This one he's holding up in his arms is a light. A light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles. And the glory of your people, Israel. It's a commentary on Titus 2:11, actually, is what we have. It's bringing forth all the truths we've been reading about and thinking about in Titus 2:11. As we recall in our study verse, we're thinking on these few things this morning hour. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It has been revealed to all. Christ is not hidden. Simeon is saying, thank you. You've done what you said you would do. You have sent the Savior. That's what Simeon wrote about as he was finishing his days on earth. And what John the Baptist said, as recorded in right close by there in Luke 3:6, John the Baptist was starting his ministry, and he started his ministry by quoting from the same chapter, Isaiah chapter 52, quoting from the same chapter that Simeon was quoting from. John the Baptist says in Luke 3:6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. All shall see. I wonder what will be remembered. This is what we remember about John the Baptist, and it's what we remember about Simeon. And I was thinking this week, I wonder what will be remembered most of all for us in our last days. What will be up on our minds? Or what will others remember us for in our last days? Paul to Titus wrote, salvation has appeared to all men, all people. Grace made its appearance and came forth. And we are thankful people for it. We're humbled with regard to it. We're brought low by God's grace. As we look across the world, and sometimes I marvel. I go to a shopping mall, which are beginning to be a thing of the past, of course. But I used to step inside the doors of a shopping mall, and I was exhausted as soon as I get inside the doors. Look for a place to rest, you know. My wife can go for hours, shop. But it's just a place to rest for me. But what I bring that up because I think of all the people. You ever sit for half an hour outside a grocery store and watch the amazing amount of people coming and going, little ants, you know? Or think about just when you drive around your area. I'm always taken back by the number of people in our area. And yet, in our areas where we live, the population would seem to be like that. It has multitudes of room compared to other nations and people jammed together. God has appeared to bring salvation for all men. I'm not saying that means all are going to be saved, but His great grace has salvation from the lips of those that are saved to be presented to all. So the context here, when you look at Titus 2 and verse 1 down through verse 10, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That gives a picture of these all men. It talks about male and female. It talks about young and old. It talks about the rich and the poor. It talks about slaves. All are guilty of sin under the curse and the wrath of God. And all need God's grace to rescue them. All need to hear the message, receive the message, the message gotten to them. God, in his great graciousness, brings that about by using gracious people like yourself to take his gracious message for folks to hear, receive the grace of God. All guilty, yes, before God. And all those that have been guilty, now have been redeemed, by the grace of God, God gathers them together. He calls it a local church here. As you come, gather together. And as you have received the grace of God, now we go forth out the church doors. After we worship God, we use our voice God gave us to sing praises to him and exalt him and thank him for what he's done for us. And our hearts get overflowing with thanks and love and joy. And we go out the doors. We're supposed to go, and I know our minds are up on going to go eat, but really our minds are to be up on going out the doors to tell someone about how wonderful God's grace is to belong to the Lord Jesus. Now in these same 10 verses, Titus 2, 1 through 10, and it talks about the various people of the local church that the pastor is to instruct. It talks about, you know, as you can look down through it, but you've read it. It talks about the aged men and the aged women. I know Jay says anyone over 60, aged, you're aged. It used to be, I won't talk about aged. It talks about the younger women and the younger men, and of course slaves. That they all should live consecrated lives because of God's grace, and that all they can all live godly in Christ because of his great grace. But it's a reminder to us that salvation is brought to all. God's grace does not bypass the older men because they're older men. I really don't like these surveys that come out that say, you know, the percentage of people trusting Christ after age 12 it goes way down before 12. There are lots of people trusting Christ, and then in a certain age group, and not so many. And then when you get up there in the 80s and 90s, it's just about 0.1% or something trusting Christ. I say, of course, there's less of them. Why wouldn't it be less? Don't put some kind of emphasis upon, you know, you get old and you can't get saved. Where does it say that in our text? Grace of God brings salvation. Has what? Appeared to who? All men, doesn't say, only those that are this age. I think of that, God's grace did not bypass the aged women. All the women said amen. It didn't bypass them just because they were women. God's grace did not bypass the younger men just because they're younger men. You can't teach them anything, you know. And God's grace did not bypass the younger women because they were younger women. And God's grace did not bypass slaves because they're slaves. But the conclusion in here and for us this morning is God's grace appeared to all. So he tells you and I, just like you do with regard to the Gleam ministry or missionaries you support, that you don't say to some missionary, well, we don't support people, we don't pay attention to that part of the world. We don't want to give any missionary out there. No, you know, the gospel to all the world. Out from churches like this one right here, it spreads out. God's grace appeared to all. The light has dawned. It's appeared. God's grace dispels darkness. People are in darkness, folks. God's grace, people, you're a grace people. You are light carriers. So it brings a question to me. You know, what will I do with Titus 2:11 through the next 300 and what's left, 60 days for 2020? What will I do with this verse? What will I do with the grace of God that's been upon me, is upon me? You know, what will you do as an individual? What will you do as a church with Titus 2:11 in 2020? It is interesting how many verses in the Bible we neglect or ignore year after year, or forget, or never act upon. And we need to be those that do not ignore, do act upon. And yes, it can be costly to act upon the Word of God and do what needs to be done with regard to it. Well, we need to admit God has been gracious to me. God has been gracious. God of indeed all grace, grace to all men. So with that, I want to plan when I step out of my car, step out of my home, am I prepared? Is my mind thinking, how might I share the grace of God? Am I ready? Am I prepared? If God should bring into my path someone this day, am I prepared? Am I ready? Am I thinking about how the grace of God, that I might be that very tool and instrument to share it with another? Would it not be the highlight of highlights in 2020 if God allowed you to bring one person to saving faith in Christ? That would be so glorious. That would make the grace of God much more real to each one of us. Well, I'm going to step in here and close the service a little differently, not with a song, but we're going to stand and we're going to say Titus 2:11 together. That's our closing song, our closing words. Okay, so up on your feet. If you need to still look at it, that's okay. Titus 2:11. Are those bones cracking I hear? Or is that pews that are moaning? Let's close our service. We'll read it together. And we'll ask God to put it to work in our lives as we head out the door. Here we go. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God brings salvation. Titus 2:11. Our Father, thank you for your grace. It indeed is amazing. Thank you for the grace that has appeared. And indeed, it's appeared to us. Thank you for each man and woman here, whatever the age may be, that your grace has worked in their hearts and lives, Father, and is working today. And might we indeed be alert, aware, reminded, encouraged, and thankful for the responsibility we have to represent the Lord God of eternity, to speak of how his Son has appeared and has come for the purpose to bring salvation. Father, might we not neglect individuals because of something about them, but trust you with your word that we would give it out as it should be. And we'll thank you for that in this year before us. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed except for those on the missions committee. I guess they've got